I'd like to read just a little bit from the 20th chapter of the book of Matthew's. And I'd like to talk to you a little bit, since we preach so hard down yonder under the tent. Give me a chance maybe to just chat with you a little bit, exhort you. You know, the main thing of preaching, or the major theme of preaching, is for the purpose to establish faith, the faith of Christ, which in return brings the righteousness of God. For faith was made unto Abraham as righteousness. That is the faith of Christ Jesus. Not Abraham's faith, but Christ Jesus' faith. The faith by which we're sanctified, and that faith, of course, is righteousness. So that's the main theme of all preaching. So then all preachers work to one central point, and that is to create a stir among the people to where everyone will believe for healing, for miracles, for salvation. That's the main theme. That's the main drive. Every sermon is supposed to be taken up and brought to that target. But at the same time, though we make a drive to do that, yet it is so needful to be able to have the knowledge of God before you can have the faith of God. You know, I have my faith as an individual, which is a man's faith. I have that because I have a man's knowledge. You have that because you have a human knowledge. So then it stands to reason that if man's faith is within man's knowledge, then God's faith must be within God's knowledge. Faith cometh by the hearing, and hearing by the knowledge, or that is by the word. And of course the word is God. God is the mind of Jesus Christ, that is the knowledge. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. But because people pay so little attention to words, then you're not able to really indoctrinate them. Now, you can take a president, you can take a senator, or you can take some great orator out in the world, and he can make a speech slowly, precisely, having written it down to make sure that he doesn't get tangled up or double talk, you know. And the people will give the most earnest heed to it, and they will listen to it word by word, carefully, every word, because it means something to them. But a preacher can preach his lungs out, and they'll pay very little attention to what he says. And if they don't feel anything, they go home all disturbed and upset, as though they were not in the house of God. Yet the president never makes them feel anything, but they sit for hours and listen to every word of it. See, the reason they listen to it is because they know that that has to do with their future in this world and their welfare, them and their children. And so then they want to know precisely what he says and what is going to take place so that they will know what's coming. Well, brothers and sisters, believe it or not, that's what the preacher is doing. What he's saying is your future, not only in this world, but in the world to come. And the Bible said to give the more earnest heed to the things that you've heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. And then it tells you to take heed how that you hear, lest Satan get the thing all misconstrued in your mind. So then it is so needful. Now, in Matthew's, the 20th chapter, I'd like to read just a little bit to you. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came, they were hired, that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge, and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshipping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. And he saith unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. You know, when you consider this, you really get a spiritual revelation. When you consider the fact that 2 out of 12 made a request for the right hand and the left hand, which of course is referred to as the sons of thunder, and referred to, he says, James and John. But if you notice, these two people, though he made it very clear that this was not for him to give, yet it is the true fact that this was established in the earth. You find that Peter, who took Jesus' place when Jesus went away, you find that on almost every occasion where Jesus does anything, he has Peter and the two. So then Peter, with one on the right and one on the left, stood just as it was when Jesus stood with one on the right and one on the left, Moses and Elijah. So then there was something to what was taking place. And you see a separation of the two from the 12, which again denotes that the 10 tribes that went away into Babylon only left 2 tribes which was the Judah tribes, to stay with the kingdom. That is on the right and on the left. So you could see why he called them the sons of thunder, in the sense that when he said, "Art thou able?" they said, "We are." He said, "Ye indeed shall." So then there's a great thing in the scriptures. When we read the scriptures, there's so many great, marvelous things in the scriptures that many times our hearts burn within us to know what the Lord is saying. You know, people want the right hand and the left hand. That is, they want the place of authority. And they want to be recognized above others. But Jesus says here, concerning the people, he makes the statement, he said, "It shall not be so with you. They that will be your chief, let them be your servant. They that are willing to minister to you, let them be the head." So then he reverses it in the world. He takes the president and he makes the president the foot washer. And he takes the minister and he makes him the president. He does just exactly the reverse in the Bible. He tells them here in the scripture concerning Matthew's, he said that those that came in at the first, I gave them a penny. Those that came in at the last, I gave them a penny. They said, "We've borne the heat of the day." But see, Jesus said in so many words that neither you nor they bore the heat of the day, that I bore the heat of the day at Calvary, and I have equally given to both of you. That when it is all summed up, you that started at the beginning are no more than you that started at the end of life. Neither one of you are the more, because all have gone their way, turned to their own way. All of you are altogether unrighteous and undone, and God hath laid upon Jesus Christ the iniquity of us all. He was bruised for our transgression, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. So then he said, "I've done you no wrong. I will give unto the last even as unto the first. That which is mine, I earned it at Calvary. It doesn't belong to you. That which is mine, it is lawful for me to do whatever I will with it." So then we can see by that that there's no big I's and little U's in the kingdom of God, and that this is the thing that displeased God with Israel, is that because God had been so good to them to be among them and separate himself from the other people, that they got the idea that they were more holier than the other people and looked on them as a bunch of dogs. So then that is what upset God with Israel. But I want you to know that they learned that though they had been first with God, they wound up being last because God put them out and took the Gentiles in and took the bride out of the Gentiles. And now that they are repenting of their sins, God tells us in the end time, being the apple of his eye, he'll turn back to them and not make them the tail but the head, in that they will be head not over the saints, who is head over all things that he chose first, that is the spiritual Jew, which is the true Jew, but rather head over the natural world, in that they will repent and come to God. So then we see God does great things. The Bible said, "How great is the wisdom of God," in that God has taken Israel and put them out of his knowledge, out of his light, put them in unbelief, that he may have mercy upon them, in that to whom much is given, much is required. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin, and the soul that sinneth shall surely die. But if God blinds Israel in part, and God doesn't give them the knowledge of his understanding, then he cannot require it of them, and the Gentiles will have an age to get right with God, and then after that, he will open their eyes, and they will see the nails in his hands, and then God will require it of Israel as they repent, and a nation will be born in one day. How great is the wisdom of God, in that he hath a way of having mercy on all. He knows how to work everything that he may have mercy. So then we see that the church world in general, as we would say, we see that the church world in general really doesn't understand what's happening. They're still at their very best, even their greatest scholars, at their very best is just a bunch of children. I've talked to some of the greatest scholars in the world, some of the very greatest in the major denominations, as well as the major men that are in the non-denominational moves out in the western part of the world, in California, Florida, and the North Chicago, and all around, and I find them to be little children. So then, it is a true fact that God hath done a good job in fulfilling the Scripture where He tells us that He hath hid it. That He hath hid it from the eyes of the wise and prudent and made it revelation unto babes such as will learn. That it is abundantly above all that you and I are able to even think or ask. That God hath made it abundantly above all that the seminaries can offer, all that the preachers can offer, and He hath made it a revelation that no man can fast unto it, pray unto it, seek it out or find it, that God Himself has to reveal it, giving God the preeminence in all things. So then it is wonderful to be a Christian, to understand God's program and God's plan, and to realize that the only way that we can have anything is to come to God who giveth to all men freely. But we have to come to God in humility, in that God giveth more grace to the humble. He resisteth the proud. When we come to God feeling that we know and that we are and we're something and the other man is nothing, we automatically close the door. But when we become a servant, as Jesus left the example, and willing to wash the feet of our brother, willing to help our brother, willing to labor for our brother, willing to esteem our brother greater than ourselves, willing to look on the things of our brother or another, then God automatically says to us, because thou hast loved righteousness, I have anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And so then He exalts us above our fellows because we abase, bring down our outer man, and God can show forth without any interruption from the outer man, from within the inner man. And therefore, God takes pleasure to present Himself through the life that is out of the way as far as the outer man. When the man on the outside is completely dead, gone and out of the way, and all of his ambition and desires has been killed out and been buried, Christ Jesus presents Himself, and He exalts that man or that woman or that person, that because he is showing forth Himself in that human body or that temple. So as I say, it is a wonderful thing. Now, tonight, as I said, I'd love to just talk to you and drop a thought or two here and there, because I preached hard down yonder, and I'd like to kind of relax. The greatest things that I ever expound is when I'm with the brethren or with somebody where I just kind of sit down in the boat, as we say, and shove out from the shore, you know, and just have a conversation. But I thought that we just, tonight, it would be hard for me just to pick up, tell you what's happening, because I don't know no more what's happening than you know as to what's happening. I have no more ability or control over that than you do, ability toward it or to present it, control over it, that I might say it's mine. I have no more than you do. So I can't do that. But there's one thing that I can do, and that is if Christ Jesus will come and tell those things, I can present them as a mouthpiece for God like Moses did. Whereas I do have them. They are given to me. They are in my heart. They are in my heart, and I do understand them, and they are there. But to present them to you, That means that they've got to come from the kingdom of God within my heart. And he's the only one that is the mediator between heaven and earth. And I'm earthly. The kingdom of God is heavenly. And he stands between the kingdom of God within me, where all of that is at, and this earth outside. And he alone can convey it to me, that I might convey it to another. And if he presents it to you, your intellectual man will never receive it. For the Bible teaches, eye hath not seen, and the wicked shall not see when good cometh. When he presents this good, if there is an intellectual man or a wicked person, they will hear, but they will not understand. And those that receive it will receive it by spiritual inspiration of the eyes of the Spirit, the understanding of God. It will go into your heart, into the kingdom of God, and I promise you that you won't bring it back to anybody else until you do it the same way that I do it. He'll have to do it. Now, so we see what we're up against. It is Christ within you, the hope of glory. It is Christ Jesus that must be glorified in everything. And we are but a vessel, you and I. We're the body of the Lord Jesus. But the body of the Lord Jesus testified when he walked this earth to this one thing, that I can do nothing of myself. So then the body can do nothing of itself, because it is the earthly part. Therefore, even at the millennium, after that the bodily part hath reigned for 1,000 years, even though it hath went to heaven, come back on the white horse of Revelation 19, set upon the throne, rule for 1,000 years, yet at the end of that 1,000 years, when the great eternal Spirit, which is the Father himself, comes forth, the Bible tells us that the Son, which is the earthly part, must himself be subject to the Father, that he may be all in all. So we see where we're at. We are nothing but the Son, but he is the Father. And if we want to know anything or understand anything, then we can truthfully say that it's not by power or might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So then, all of these things, the Lord showed me a vision of it one time. I kept wondering how that all these things are with God. In what manner are they with God? And the Lord showed me this. I looked, and way off, like we would say in a great city, whereas in heaven we say, there was as a great hall of fame. I saw a great place, like a great hall of fame, and beautiful paintings, rare paintings, hanging up in this place. All of these beautiful, exquisite paintings, great and outstanding masterpieces, guards all around. And in this vision, I was made to know that you and I can go into that hall of fame. We can look at all of those things, but if we take one of them out and bring it back, we are a thief and a robber, and the authorities will be on our trail very shortly, and we'll be in trouble with God because we have stolen that which belongs to God. So the mind of Christ is for us to look at. The mind of Christ is for us to see it. The mind of Christ is placed out before us in his great hall of fame. And everyone can see it, but it belongs to the mind of Christ. It belongs to God and to God's people forever. It doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to him. And though we are partakers of it, in that all things are ours, yet it is all ours through Christ Jesus. All things are mine, Paul said. That is, in Christ Jesus, because I am no longer me, I am him. I am bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. It is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God, so that it's not me, but it's him. And that's what makes the difference. Now, in presenting the things that we do, as we did the other night, and as we often do when the anointing comes, We made the statement the other night, just dropping in a little something for you to chew on. While we were down in Manchester, Georgia, a great thing was taking place. There the tent out at Brother Pearson's place. There the little white house about maybe 8 miles away. And there we was, bringing about a great spiritual thing. A great revelation was taking place. In that area, you know, it's where the great discs are. Brother Atlee went over and took a look at them. And he told me, he said, you know, Brother Pike, he said, those discs, I don't believe I'm exaggerating to say that they are as big as this tent or bigger. Whereas they took some aerial views of them, and probably we'll get to see them. They might even put some in the magazine. But those great discs had a great spiritual significance. A spiritual significance in that from, as we say, the satellites or the tail stars or whatever, the signals come back to those great big discs. And that is the place of receiving in the earth. The place of receiving in the earth. They say it's the only place anywhere around in the United States that has the cove to where they can do this. It is a beautiful place, and it seems strange, you know, that it would be at that very place where the little White House is. But when we look at it, and when we examine it in the light of what we said the other night to the brethren, then it's not strange at all. Because coming to that place, those signals come in on the disc, and then they go out through bell, telephone, and different means of communication. They go out to the people. See, it's like the Lord Jesus. There has to be something that is a receptacle in the earth that's made contact with that it can come through to go out. You say, what does that have to do with us? Well, I could say, naturally speaking, you know, we use a lot of natural things, and we could get, childish, since the Lord uses the foolish things to confound the wise. I could say that on my mother's side, there's bells. You know, we say bell telephone. But that really doesn't have anything to do with it. But those discs, believe it or not, as huge as they are, and the only place, the cove being the only place for the contact between heaven and earth, as we say. Remember, Jesus hung between heaven and earth. The satellites, the stars, whatever. That place, the little White House, those discs had to do with little Bethlehem. Believe it or not, because you don't, but I do. Now, you can't believe what you don't know and what you don't understand and what you don't see. That's why you cannot have the faith of Christ, is because you cannot believe what you don't see, what you don't understand, and what you don't know. But when you come to the knowledge of God, you see it through the eyes of your understanding, you know it by the mind of God, and you have no trouble believing it because it is real. So then they have to do with little Bethlehem. That's why that God sent us into the area at this particular time. When I left here, I understood that we would have about 3 days meeting. Whereas I was willing to go the full week, would have gone the full week, made no plans to close out. I just left it as God would have it. The last night of the meeting, which was the third night, I preached. I told my wife, I said, we're supposed to leave. The next morning, we left. It worked out just the way that I understood. Now, it had to do with a death, burial, and a resurrection. Now, the foolish and base things of the world is what God uses to confound the wise. So then, I am a foolish thing. That's why I believe all these foolish things. If you look at it, you can see the tent was set, as we would say, in a wilderness. And Brother Atlee said it sure looked like a wilderness from the air. It was set in a wilderness. And I said nobody in their right mind would have this kind of meeting out in a wilderness. A camp meeting, yes. But a revival like that, no. Not at that expense. But anyway, that's what God wanted. And we set it out there. There, a death, burial, a resurrection. Now you say, Brother Pike, what kind of death, what kind of burial, what kind of resurrection? Numbers of you know exactly what I'm saying. Because you sat with me for about 2 solid hours. I may say some things that you don't know. I've already said some things tonight that I didn't say to you there. But numbers of things that I might say tonight that I didn't say to you. But many or most of the things that I would say, if I reviewed some of it, you would already know many of it. Some of you would not know because it's not found in college. It's not written in the textbooks. You don't find it anywhere. It has to come from God. But you say, what kind of death? What kind of burial? What kind of resurrection? First of all, does it even symbolize that? We know that it is, but does it even symbolize that? Is there any natural confirmation? Like the foolish things when I spoke about the name Baal. Is there any confirmation in any way? Well, let's look at it like this. Never before have I ever used what they call, is it AstroTurf? Never have I ever used it on my platform that I know of. Never. That's what they use when they let the casket down. But we had it on the platform. It was bought for that meeting especially. It was put there. We have never before used the large trunks that are lined with the thick foam rubber, the white rubber, that when they are open look so much like a casket or a coffin. But they was placed right behind the AstroTurf, sticking up about like the coffin. Not only that, but the setting was just right in the green grassy field because they spread a tent over the coffin. So then we see typically that it was like that. For them that have eyes to see, for them that are looking, many things are to be seen. Them that do not have eyes to see, them that are not looking, they will never see that because they do not have eyes to see that. They have eyes to see, and yet they see not. That is, they do not see the spiritual significance, yet they see the natural things. So they never understand, for the wicked shall not understand when good cometh. But then, he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he is judged of no man, because he cannot be judged of any man. For who can judge an individual that was judged in the foreknowledge of God and justified unto perfection and eternal life? There is no way to judge him. He has already been judged and free from judgment. Now, but he judgeth all things, and the Bible said, know ye not that the saints shall judge the world. So we see a death, a burial, and a resurrection. Then we say again, what kind of death, burial, and resurrection? What is dying? What is being buried? And what is being resurrected? The government of the United States dying. Not only the government of the United States, but the government of the world, in that the United States is the head government of all the world. So then, the government of the world dying to be buried. Then you say, if that is true, then where is the resurrection? The resurrection couldn't be but one thing. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. So then, what is the resurrection? When we went over to the White House, the little White House, there we had the meeting that I understood that we was to have. I understood that we was to go to the White House and we was to have a meeting at the little White House. Whereas, I knew that if we did that, that it would be a miracle from God, because they don't do that. Presidents campaigning, yes, rarely, but not ministers and priests. So then we were informed that they did not do that for priests. But nevertheless, they said, though we've never done it before, we're going to do it this time. So they put us on the White House porch. And while we were on the White House porch, we talked about Jesus. We sang about Jesus. And as they sang that song, "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, Coming to Carry Me Home," people way across the grounds heard it and came later after we was closed out and asked, said, "Where did that beautiful singing and music come from?" So then they were stirred. While we was talking, the man that was in charge was so inspired as he came out to listen. He sent word over and said, "Tell him to go ahead and make his inauguration speech, because it's all going back to Washington and they'll run him in the primary." Now, but anyway, the people were stirred. At the very same time that we was talking, standing in the same place where Carter had stood and where Kennedy had stood when they made their speech and started their campaign in autumn, right there where Roosevelt lived until his death, having died in office, while we stood there talking about the great things of God, while we were talking, Jimmy Carter contacted James Roosevelt to let him know that he wanted to come to the little White House and do the same thing that we was doing at the beginning of this next try for president, his next campaign. Whereas the man sent us word, but told us that we could not say anything about it, that they could not pick it up on the recorders at that time. Building was recording. They'd give us permission to record and film, televise, and that we could not pick it up on the television cameras, but said that Brother Pike can know about it. So it was whispered to me. I didn't say anything about it there. I honored the man. He said, "You can't say anything about it because it has not even yet been released to the television cameras, our station, nor to the people or the news medias." Now, a resurrection. What kind of resurrection? If there was a death, then there was a resurrection. I remember what George Jr. said when George Jr. went over there to the little White House. Some of them had already bought tickets. George Jr. asked the question, said, "Can these continue to come in with the tickets they already have?" The woman or man said to him, said, "One more day of grace." Well, believe it or not, that was for the next day that we was to be at the White House. Praise God. Which day was also the birthday of my little Gracie. Hallelujah. Her name being Grace, God having told me to name her Grace, because she had a specific purpose in life. We had her birthday cake and acknowledgement of her birthday there on the White House. I guess she's probably one of the few that ever done that. But anyway, there was, maybe the only one that ever done that, I don't know. But anyway, there we had it. They sang, they played, they let them set up the instruments, their organ and everything. People came, some of them that was not our people, gathered around and began to talk with us. And they began to listen, and they enjoyed it. While we were there, it was there that David made the talk that he did. It had a very special significance in him making the talk that he did. And that is when he turned and referred to us concerning the presidency, in that we are president of the corporation of our evangelic ministry that has been in effect for many years. We being the president, Brother Taylor being the secretary of it, Brother Taylor also came up and had his part in helping us to lead the singing and to pledge the allegiance. For we pledge the allegiance, not the allegiance that America has, but the allegiance that God gave me and put in my heart that we teach our children. We pledge the allegiance not to the flag, which is called old glory, but rather to Christ, who is the true glory.
Amen. Praise God.
And they received it well. They did not hurry us. They gave us plenty of time. They said we could have 30 minutes. They gave us an hour and still was willing to go longer. So we stayed over an hour. But we had the little speech David referred to, the presidency. And at the same time that we returned to the tent, got up to minister that night, remember, one more day of grace, I read the scripture that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God, of His Lord Christ, and they shall reign forever and ever. Whereas Sister Betty at the White House read the scripture that righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Because that's what God spoke to me to read when we were there. Now, at the very same time that I was under the tent reading that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God, which was exactly what the meeting had to do with, in the closing out of the days of the Gentiles, bringing it over to this 4th of July camp meeting, which is the independence, which brings the fireworks afterwards, which denotes an independence of Little Bethlehem, our government, in that the Liberty Bells came in, three of them, one from Marysville, one from Atlanta, Georgia up here, and one that Brother Rath brought in from somewhere. James worked on today, got them all fixed up. At the same time, I spoke of Brother Bobby's brother dying. We won't go into that. But his brother dying having to do with my brother Charles, about the same age, being a black man, having to do with the Jews. Bobby took my car, went over there. When he got ready to go, Brother James Isaac, having to do with the promised son, went out and put oil in my car, which was a quart low, which was the Pennsylvania or the Quaker State oil, which has to do with the independence. Junior gave him $50, which has to do with the Jubilee year, and with the oil to the virgins of Tennessee, the 10 virgins going over in the presidential car, in that we're president of the corporation. He went over. He had had a dream that he was an ambassador and had been sent. There he was, sent from another world, a heavenly world, over to them under those conditions. And believe it or not, they're burying his brother at night, or that is the proposed plan. Whereas the Passover of the Jews is at night, you know, in Egypt, and the death angel passed over. So then, it really set the thing off just perfect, in that I said that us going down yonder had to do with the end of the days of the Gentiles, and that the Jews would be coming in, and the black man represented that. Now, the black man represents good, but he also represents evil. The white man represents good, but he represents evil also. It depends on whether it's the good black and the bad black, or the good white and the bad white. The bad black represents Satan, while the good black represents the Jewish people. The bad white represents Antichrist, while the good white represents Christ, or the true church. So then this went over. Now then, Jimmy Carter signing the peace treaty with Israel. automatically brought Israel out from under the condemnation of not having faith in God and the wrath of God, in that since Calvary, they have been out of the presence of God. They killed their king. And when they killed their king, they killed their head, and their bodily members, our nation, died out of the presence of God in the ignorance that they are in until such time as they come back. Paul saw the revelation and said, if the casting away, that is God rejecting his son, making him sin, the Jews being the members of that, Jesus made likened to Satan, made likened to the dragon that was cast out, that was covered with the blood, the red dragon, being cast out, a third part of the angels being cast out with him. That was what John saw in the book of Revelation. It was Calvary. The third part of the angels, the stars falling, was the Jewish people. You say third part, Jew, Catholic, Gentile. Or if you want to say it the other way, Jew, Gentile, and church. A third part. So then, he said, if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead, which means the resurrection, which we're on the verge of that now. Receiving the Jews, bringing peace. Now, they did not have any peace. You remember? They did not have any peace from God. They've been troubled because they said, let his blood be on us. They did not have any peace. When the peace treaty was signed, it typified the wrath of God being lifted to make them the head of the nation, in that they took the all control, as we say, by union of their half-brother, or the bond's child, redemption of the body of the Arabs, still the child of Abraham, in that they are together, making them the most powerful in the world. The wise virgins in the natural oil, the foolish virgins cut out over here in America. Whereas it is the reverse in the spiritual Jew, in the spiritual part, spiritual oil, the natural Jew will have to go through the tribulation. But in the natural, these over here will go through the natural tribulation of bowing down and not having natural substance. So then, we see that ever since the papacy said that we have learned that the Jews did not crucify Jesus, that he forgave them of their sin, and that he's the God in the earth as far as the natural type. What he says carries out the natural type. The blood was automatically lifted. Then comes their peace. He said he knew that the Catholics, or Roman people, or the Gentiles was guilty, which brings the blood down on their heads, lifts it off of the Jews, brings back the peace to the Jews, makes them the head of the nation. All right. Now, that means the ruling power was surrendered up from Jimmy Carter over to the Jews. Going over to the Jews. Remember this, that in the time of the Babylonian kingdom, that Daniel picked up the crown. Now let me say this, perhaps you've thought on it, perhaps you never have. But remember, Israel did not really have but two kings. Isn't that right? Now when you read the Bible, it sounds like they had many kings. But they really didn't have but two. Those two kings was David and Solomon. Joshua crossed the Jordan. They had the judges for about 400 years of battle. Then came the time that they cried for a king. Samuel, being their leader, said, God is your king. They wanted Saul. He gave them Saul. He gave them a king. After that, about 40 years of that king, David came in. God anointed him. Another 40 years, Solomon came in. About another 40 years, in about 975 B.C., the kingdom split. You remember how that Jeroboam took 10 tribes away. Took them away from the original tribes Two of them was left, which had to do with Judah and Benjamin, back over there with the kingdom. Jeroboam took them away from Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. We won't go into that, but I want to bring out a thought. It was at that time that the crown, and when we say crown, we're talking about the king or the ruling authority. At that time, the crown left Israel in the days of Solomon, went down into Babylon, and there the Babylonian kingdom was raised up. And you remember how it went through the visions of Daniel with the lion that stood up and had the man's heart. How that it went through it about the bear and the leper. I brought it out the other night, compared it with John's vision of how it was one and the same and the beast coming up. The great, great image. Now, so we won't get into that. But the crown went down there. They kept it for 70 years. After 70 years, it was to be restored back to the Jews. At the time of their calamity, when the alien armies came in under the walls by cutting the river off, we preached a sermon on it, overthrew it. You remember what happened to Belteshazzar? How that the kingdom was overthrown, how that their knees knocked together with the handwritings on the wall because they'd messed with the vessels of God, and how that the man said down there, they said, Daniel, we're going to make you third ruler of the kingdom. Daniel picked up the crown. There it was restored to Nehemiah, went back to build the walls, back to the coming of the Messiah, which to you and I meant the fulfilling of Daniel's 70 weeks. From the time that they built those walls, back to the Messiah, and we've got a message here where we break it down, the 49 weeks and so forth, and when the Messiah was cut off, so we won't go into that. But from that time over to the Messiah being cut off, which is Jesus coming at Calvary, not for himself, but for his people, the Bible said he was cut off. There was 500 years of silence. It's called 500 years of silence. Bible scholars call it 500 years of silence. The angels call it about 490 years according to Daniel's prophecies. But anyway, it's over to Jesus. Remember that everything was fulfilled of Daniel's prophecy except one thing, and that was the 7 years. The 7 years, which was the last week of Daniel, was not fulfilled, which is the 7 years that is yet to come, which is the tribulation period. For in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, the grandfather of the man that was overthrown, there of Belshazzar, it was said, cut down the tree, let 7 times pass over it, then leave the stump, let it grow again. Whereas he was taken off of his kingdom and restored, it denoted his fall, it denoted his rise. But what it had to do with was Israel's fall, because God referred to Nebuchadnezzar as his servant, because he did give his heart to God in acknowledging Christ. So it was the fall of Israel, cut down the tree, let 70 years, 7 times pass over it, then bring them out of Babylon, restore the walls back to the Messiah, bringing the 7 years of tribulation as a confirmation in the end of it, and that 7 years would pass over the Jews as a reproof, or the 7 church ages over the Gentiles as that which had to do with the Gentile church. Just before the fall of Israel, John the Baptist came forth. He preached his sermon. He said, I lay the axe to the root of the tree. Every good tree that don't bring forth root shall be hewn down and cast into the fire. I lay the axe to the root of the tree. The tree was cut down. Cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. Jesus hang on the tree. The tree was cut down, which was Israel. Down went Israel. Seven times was the Passover. Then, through the church ages, through the tribulation period, and then she was to rise again, like Washington seeing even America, which typed it, the fall and the rise of it. See, the crown was given back to Daniel, given back to Israel, back to the coming of the Messiah, and even Pilate wrote the king of the Jews to show that he had received the crown, but the Jews would not receive him with the crown, so then they were cut down. God took him and set him on the throne at the right hand and will not bring him back until Revelation 19, after the 7 years, the time that the seven times passing over the Jews to bring the tree back up in the millennium to make Israel a nation again, that she might fly her flag as she did over in Canaan, which was a type of the millennium, like America is a type of the millennium. All right, now, let me say this. What happened was they rejected their king. They said, don't say that he is our king, but that he said that he was our king. Pilate said, what I have written Jesus, the King of the Jews. All right, now, the crown was restored but will not be acknowledged until Revelation 19. All right, look at Jimmy Carter. In Revelation 19, we pick that crown up, set Jesus on the throne. When we come back, we go up before the tribulation, come back on white horses, set him on the throne of David and crown him. Look at Jimmy Carter. He sent the crown that we had had so long from the old country over here. When he came in, he sent the crown back over there, which indicated that it had left us and had gone back. The crown had been returned. The peace treaty to Israel, bringing in Israel as the head of the nation, their king, because Jesus is a natural body that is over a natural nation of natural Jews, which is the King of the Jews, and must reign 1,000 years. And they will recognize him in the middle of the week when they see the nails in his hands after the rapture of the church. They will recognize him, accept him as their king. And in Revelation 19, he will restore it. Remember the male 3 years, maturity, that's us, the true Jew, going up in the rapture. Then the woman part, the flesh, which brings in the Jew. In the natural, the Jew is male to all of the world. They're female. But in the spiritual Jew is male to the body, which is female, which is the Jew or all the people. All right, now, in this, the crown goes back to Israel, goes back to the Jews. Now look at it for just a minute. And going back over to Jesus, it means that the tribulation period, which we said that thing would start happening around the year of 80, not knowing what scientists had predicted about the convulsion of the sun and the earth and all these things, we said that something would start happening and that the tribulation period wouldn't be far off. Right now, Brother Arthur, at the memorial, Talmadge Memorial, or having to do with the Talmadge Memorial, coming back, we'll put those doors up. The locks are already on them. To lock that vault that had to do with Fort Knox, Kentucky, you remember the change and what happened to George Jr., the gold? To have to do with that vault from California that we said had to do with the resurrection of Brother Branham, which I said had to do with George Jr. being out in Tucson, Arizona, Tucson twins, like A.A. Allen in Miracle Valley. We brought it out here. And Brother Branham in another part, old Tucson and new Tucson. George Jr. being out there, two sons, one a son-in-law, one a son. George Jr., my son, married Becky, which Becky relates back to Brother Parnell, which goes back to Brother Branham. Are you listening now? George Jr. married her. George Smith married Brother Branham's daughter. On Brother Branham's side, it's a daughter. On my side, it's a son. On his side, it's a son-in-law because he has to do with the Jews. On our side, it is a son, not in-law. George Jr. went to Guadalajara, Mexico, came out of it, could not stay because he did not have the right papers to come back for the resurrection that had to do with the vision that we had at Santa Rosa, which had to do with Brother Branham, the death of Sam Fife, William Salas, the school of the prophets, the people that lost their leader that they believed was their leader, and now they say they're waiting for the follow-up of Elisha. In Tucson, my boy meeting, out of all people, Brother Richie. Brother Richie, who was supposedly in Phoenix, but he met him. Why Brother Richie? The one that had to do with Joseph Sears. You know, the one that comes out of the dungeon. Joseph's already come back. You know, he kind of fell away from this, went through the dungeon, come back, and is over in the Carolinas. But he met Brother Richie. Brother Richie is the one that claims he sees the pillar of fire and claims that he has the ministry of Brother Branham. See, the resurrection, the inheritance. He comes up, he comes all the way back over here. George Jr., out of all the things that he could have picked up to put up the sign that had been lost, be still and know that I'm God, the same thing that Brother Branham used, they found it, put it back up in the tent. When George Jr. went to put it up, he got Tilden and him and Jerry, Brother Lambert, the pattern that Jerry follows, on one end of it. He got on the other end of it and took the trunk of all the crazy things to do. And I was just about to get him when the Lord said, "Leave it alone, it's me. You know, I'm in it. I have to do with it." And he showed me what it was. Because it was a foolish thing. And all of a sudden, I was about not to see the foolish thing. And the Lord spoke to me. Now, but out of all things, he got up on the end of the trunk, got up here, and the Lord showed me that it had to be the trunk because it had to do with the casket and the resurrection, being caught up, "Brother Branham, be still and know that I'm God." Coming all the way back from Tucson, Arizona. So then, it had to do, as I say, with Sharon Dale, my Sharon Dale, Brother Branham's Sharon Rose, over in Santa Rosa, which means the Saint Rose. There where Frank and them had left us in Guatemala, where was the earthquake that had to do with the Great Gulf, for surely there. Then catching up with us in the early morning dew when I had the vision. Oh, you remember the vision where it said that somebody died and I was to take their place. Caught up with us, went hundreds of miles down to San Pedro Sula, which had to do with St. Peter. Are the keys, the souls in prison, the hot blistering place, came back. And when we got back to Santa Rosa, you can call it coincident or what, but Frank and them left us. We had problems and they left us. How do you understand what I'm saying? George Washington, the father of our country and the natural that symbolized the truth, George Washington, or that is the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Truth, in the end of it. Out here, there's another Mount Vernon right here. There is a little government being over at the tent. The very night that I read that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God, the man that they made, Mr. America, died. Coincidental or not. It was like when I said the Pope was going to die and we was having a baptism over yonder. At the very time it was supposed to transpire, the Pope died. Mr. America. That is one more day of grace. At the end of that day of grace, Mr. America died. Jimmy Carter went over to visit with him. I think they put his face on one of the coins. It'll soon be out. Now listen to this. They had replaced his heart valve, I understand, with a pig valve. They called him the Duke, which name that he got from his dog. He was dying with cancer, which to me indicated the dog back to the vomit, the sow to her wallowing in the mire, and America dying in corruption.
That's right.
And at the death of that government and all of that, in that Jimmy had taken those black people into the White House and was there having that big to-do with the rock and roll and that woman all out of shape, sitting down in a messy mess of corruption. Darkness, gross darkness covering the people. Dying and going out, lifting up Elvis Presley the way that he did. The communist flag coming in, God rejecting the government through that Elvis Presley rock and roll thing, and the communist flag coming up at that very same time, going communist. God does not receive the communist government. He will not have anything to do with it. He started a government back over yonder in the east. He's worked with it all the way down. When she come to the end in America, it was to go back to the Jews and the natural to be preserved. And then back to the saints of God, which was the second man, Adam, in that government is the head coming from the man to the woman. And it has to go through a wilderness of the intellectual tree of knowledge of human reasoning, which is the woman's weakness that started in the garden of the educational system of the world, which is the woman. Go through that all the way down through the years, until the day that they acknowledge in the end time the second man, Adam, which is the Christ, the quickening spirit, which is the membership of you and I, coming out of the wilderness of the intellectual mind back into the Adam mind, this time the mind of Christ, the sons of God, out of the wilderness of the intellectual educational side of life to be established in a millennium government in the minds of the sons of God.
Hallelujah.
Coming back up that the man may rule and not the woman, which means the male, that is Israel, the eastern part, the male, and not the western part, which is the woman. For the child has been born, caught up to the throne, the mind of Christ Jesus, the woman with the foot on the moon. We went through all these things. You know what I'm speaking of? The flag taken up, oh, glory departed, Ichabod wrote over the door. The mark of the beast cannot come on the child. He cannot be marked by birthmark or mark of the beast. The grace spirit is over, for the grace is for the woman carrying the child. Now it's born. It can't be marked. It's caught up back over there. The peace has gone back to Israel. And God has brought the thing to pass perfectly in that the tent was set in the wilderness. Corruption was setting in on the mildew spots, which was caused by taking it down at night over in Virginia that has to do with the Virgin in Washington, back over there at Shiloh, where David Paul, making his little speech, having to do with Samuel, and this having to do with Samuel, in that at Shiloh, which is down there, Samuel, God is called. At Shiloh, Joshua divided the inheritance. It was at Shiloh concerning Shechem and the circumcision of the seal. It was at Shiloh that all of these things took place, and the prophecy over David was, when he was born, was that as it was with Samuel.
Amen.
So then David was all shook up down there, him and George Jr. running together in a pattern. We don't have time to go into all those things tonight, but to run the same pattern as the Jesus in Christ. But anyway, what I'm saying is, and I'm going to close out in just a few minutes, just a few more things here I'd like to clarify. On this Shiloh part, coming out of the wilderness, the tent, seeing corruption, the spots showing up, just before he saw corruption, then out came the sun. Now listen, Delano Roosevelt had to do with King David. He also had to do with Brother Branham. It all runs one and the same. All of the walking sticks that you saw, there's many multiplied walking sticks. That's from all over the different parts of the world. The reason that they were sent to Delano Roosevelt was because they represented the staves being sent to the chief shepherd. He never was put out of office. He was in there 4 terms. He died in office, which means that they could not rightfully give the presidency to any other person, never again, because he died with it. Kennedy, run on the same ticket, died but was killed to show the disfavor of God. Carter run on the same ticket. The reason they did was because Roosevelt's outlook was this. They were seeking a world order. He said a world order of free countries that in a friendly, civilized society could abide together. Kennedy, with the wrong motive, saw what he had done in a world order. Roosevelt with the right motive. Kennedy with the wrong motive. Carter with the wrong motive. To rule the world was their motive. Going after that, that's why they picked his policy to run over, or run on. Now, as I said, Israel never did have but two kings, David and Solomon. You say, but Brother Pike, there was Saul. Remember, the people put Saul in office. Samuel stood, Samuel's father, David's son, Solomon, Holy Ghost. Not Saul, David, Solomon. Saul was the breach. Saul was the middle wall of partition. Saul was the mind of the people. They saw him head and shoulders above the others. They put him in office. It was not God's ordination. Samuel said, God is your king. But when the king went in, when David came, God anointed David through Samuel. And Solomon was the son of David that come up at his feet, that represented the son of the kingdom, the Gentile woman. After that, the kingdom split. So actually all you had was David and Solomon, which was the Jesus and the Christ.
Hallelujah.
He made himself twain. The father represented by the seer, Samuel, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, so then, Delano Roosevelt, seeing his administration, built the little White House in Georgia. I said that when the presidency came to an end, back there, when Ford came in, I said it is a monarch, it is a kingship. We found out that the people didn't even put him in. He boasted that he got in and nobody put him in. And Kirsten said, nobody can take me out. But God did take him out. Then they found out also that his name was King. Then comes Jimmy to bring it over to Georgia for what God was fixing to do in the breach over. In doing that, Jimmy proved it was a monarch because he'd done what he wanted to. He didn't even listen to Congress. He'd done what he wanted to. So then that was the end of the thing. Back there, God was to ordain a carryover of presidency because America has to do with sonship or millennium, whereas that is in type, whereas the coming of the millennium has to do with the celestial, which in reality follows the millennium. So then to yield it up from here to Jesus is typical of the Son delivering it up to the Father, which thing in the true millennium that he will do at the end when the celestial comes up as he delivers it up to the Father. So then the same thing in type must happen here. God brings it over to the sons of God, gives the kingdom to us, closes out the Gentiles, brings it to you and I. He closes it out completely to the Gentiles, takes judgment off of the Jews, which means it is off of the church, and now on the people out there in the judgment begins at the house of God. It's on the people out there. We're sealed in, caught up into heaven, translated into his kingdom, having been raptured out of this world, hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the millennium, the restitution of all things, and that God has done this for us. Then it was the breach over, at the White House, that's why Jimmy called like he did during that period of time. And David, my son, made the announcement because Delano Roosevelt had to do with David. It had to do with the son, David, my son, establishing the millennium here in America, the time, and then turning around, delivering it up to the Father, which was me, as his dad, standing there when he turned and said what he did to signify that you, brethren, which represents the celestial after the millennium, heavenly Jerusalem, the lively stones settling down upon the earth as the government, which has to do with all these beautiful lights you see in here that people mock us about, which is that you are the real true lights, the beautiful lights, the jewels of the earth, the heavenly Jerusalem coming down, sitting down upon the earth to be the light of all the nations, of all the world, that all of the world around and about may walk in the light of that city, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which means the revealing or the coming of Jesus Christ. For government is law. And law comes to senators, to judges, to policemen, to sheriffs. So many people have a revelation. They'll argue with you and say, well, everybody's got a revelation. Everybody's got this. A lawyer's got authority. A sheriff's got authority. A policeman's got authority. All of them's got authority. That's government. That's law. That's controlling power. But, beloved friend, there's a head, and it's called Washington. And that's where Senate is, and that's where the whole thing is known, and the whole thing operates. And all of those in part has to give way or be connected with that, or they don't have any part or authority. And that is what it is in the ministry around the world, wherever it is. It must come to the revelation of Jesus Christ. Brother David Terrell in Atlanta, Georgia, represents at this period of time with the big tent. It's the highlight of his ministry. It represents David, King David, coming in, the government, red, white, and blue, going to Brother Terrell. That is, he represents at this time the biggest tent in the world, the biggest government settling down at Lakewood, the holiday, or the millennium, as we say, since it's been a playground for children and people. Settling down there, Brother Terrell's tent represents that it has gone back to Israel, that is, to David, which indicates that Israel has picked it up. That's why the flags in the picture were switched. When you saw the flags of Israel and the flags of the United States, if you remember seeing the paper. So David has got that. He said he saw a vision where his tent was supposed to be like it is. And so that's what it represents. So then the true perspective of what God done was at the little White House, in the change and in the breach over. It has to be a kingship. Presidents went out, it turned to a kingship, a monarch, and then went over to the sons of God, in that we are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Son may receive it and deliver it up to the Father at His coming, that He may forever be all in all. Now there's other things that we'd like to say, but I might have took too long tonight, I don't know. There's one thing for sure, and that is that at this time, God is joining that which is heavenly together with that which is earthly, which means spiritual Jew to natural Jew, which is shown by the natural Jew and the natural bonds child of the Arabs. At the same time that all of this was happening, I thought, now, Lord, we should be hearing something from over in Jerusalem. And just as we got through with what we were saying, Brother Mitch came up to us. And Brother Mitch Hamby said, Brother Pike, we just heard from Elias, which goes back to Jesus or Elijah, from over in Jerusalem. And he says that the tape ministry that we are sending to him of the preaching here is growing so. And the people are so interested in Jerusalem that he's got to have a building for it. And that he is looking forward to your coming to Jerusalem. So then things is happening real favorable all over the world. Paul said your faith is spoken of throughout the world. And as I said, it come out of the tent, out of the wilderness, because Solomon built a temple for it and David delivered it up to the celestial, the millennium. It's David, the celestial, the God of all the ages, the great light coming from whose faith the mountains fled away, has to do with Solomon, the regina of Solomon. The tent down there going out having to do with David, because it was given to Brother Leon Wilson over there, that had to do with Brother Branham, which has to do with David, ending the seven churches that he preached at, Trinity, and then coming to the Jesus name. And you know the sermon I preached about Trinity being the woman and oneness being the man, and how, and the things I said about it. Maybe we'll elaborate some more on it later. But it had to do with that, in that the sun come out just before corruption, the resurrection of Brother Branham. Had to do with that over there, and the throne being delivered up, coming out of the wilderness, in that Brother Leon is in a wilderness over there, and he loves to put wood and be in the wilderness and hunt like Brother Branham. Coming out of that, because Solomon built a temple. And this is the temple. So it comes out of the tent into the temple, and Brother Branham said, what I saw from heaven, it looked like it might have been a cathedral with a little booth in it. That's what that little booth has to do with over your head there, and that's what the white tent had to do with when he spoke of the white tent. So then we see that something has really transpired and has really taken place. I believe in my heart, by these things that I've said tonight, I believe that you can see that something really has happened and that God has really done something. Now then, if that is true, then you need to walk circumspectively, and you need to realize who you are and what you are and the importance of this place and what God has called you for, and get in here and not let the devil swindle things out of your hand or reproach it. He's tried to kill it. It's been the babe, but the babe is born. It's been the babe. The police tried to kill it. Everybody's tried to kill it. Us going up yonder tomorrow before the police to win out over them in court is the confirmation of it with Willie, having to do with Brother Branham's children being taken away from him, as we say. But anyway, that is what it amounts to, brethren. And I hope that we can understand it and that we can walk together and enjoy the things that are here. I want you to stand with me. All of the lights going out. The Trinity has always been a big crowd. The tents of Brother Terrell and the others has been a big crowd of people. It was supposed to be that way because the woman and the children goes to the Trinity. That's why he believes in women preachers and those kind of things. It goes back to the American side of it, where, as I said, that's the highlight of his ministry, and that'll be it. Now, the thing is, the Trinity is the woman part. There has never been a Pentecostal Trinity. Never. I preached that the other day. Trinity comes from the dissecting of Calvary of body, soul, and spirit, Jew, Catholic, and Gentile. We've been into that by Revelation. Maybe we'll go into it again to clarify it. It was the last until the coming in of the Jews, and then it was to come back. The birth of the child, the Trinity, the dissecting, which means the birth of the child. And then, after Calvary, then comes the church. It's born, then comes the wound is sewed up. Everything is closed up. The wounded side is no more. Then all of that which was the big revival to the Trinity will not be big revival to the Trinity anymore, because that is the woman playing with her children like any mother will play games with her children, jumping and hollering and shouting, and the Lord has kept them alive and blessed them. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. When I become a man, I put away childish thing. But while Israel was playing games, Moses was off in the mountain. He was looking for the revelation. And that is what we've got to have. So then everything will come to the revelation, because it is Christ in the earth. That's the only way that they can survive. You haven't seen it too much yet, but when the shadows start falling of the evening time, the children will get scared, and the mother won't be able to comfort them. And the mother, along with the children, will start looking for home. Hallelujah. And start looking for daddy. So then, let's turn our faces toward the Heavenly Father and realize that it's, as the song says, it's late, it's evening time. shall be light in the evening time. The path to glory we shall surely find. Let's sing a little song together. We sang the song, we'll give all the glory to Jesus, because that's where all of it belongs. It is Christ within you, the hope of glory, Christ within me, and it is Him. It is His voice, it is His plan, it is His words, it is His way. What He hath done for you, He hath done for me. Now, I don't know that Bill even got this on tape. Maybe he did. Did you get it on tape, Bill, tonight? Okay, Bill got it on tape tonight. And if some of you didn't get to hear it, you want to hear it, you can get a tape. And if you want to go back over it to where you can understand it and fit in many things that I did not say, many things the Spirit will say to you that you will understand better.